help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage. And I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving. And coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Sean Bloom. He is the CEO of the National PACE Association, that's NPA, the Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, which is an organization that represents 36 operating PACE sites and approximately 25 additional health care organizations in various stages of PACE site development in the nation. Prior to NPA, Sean served as executive director of the Missouri Association of Homes for the Aging. So stay tuned. This is going to be very enlightening, and we're going to be right back with Mr. Sean Bloom.
Torrey Pines Gliderport invites you to experience world-famous coastal soaring. Our full-service facility will professionally handle all your paragliding and hang gliding needs. With an entire line of flight gear, reserve chutes, harnesses, helmets, and accessories, the Gliderport is your one-stop shop. We proudly offer a full line of flight experiences, including tandem flights, tours, and skill enhancement and instructor clinics. Torrey Pines Gliderport is the U.S. importer for Paratec, Independence, Advanced Paragliders, Crispy Flight Boots, Austria Alpina Carabiners, Fly Mike Flight Suits, and Center of Gravity Flightwear. The Torrey Pines Gliderport hosts world-class soaring for sailplanes, hang gliders, paragliders, and radio control gliders. We welcome you to drop by and enjoy the Cliffhanger Cafe and our panoramic ocean views.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, or Take My Father, Please, How to Survive Caring for Aging Parents. If you're coping with caregiving now or think it is just about to befall you, you just have to read my book so you don't needlessly go through all the pitfalls that I did. It's a tough subject, but I promise laughter out loud as you learn everything you ever wanted to know about elder care but were afraid to ask. After you learn how I solved the seemingly endless crisis, I include answers to the toughest caregiving questions, tons of resources, and an enlightening chapter by a renowned dementia specialist, A Physician's Guide to Treating Dementia, which makes Elder Rage valuable for everyone from the family to the physician. I am honored that Elder Rage has received 45 prestigious endorsements, including Hugh Downs, Regis Philbin, Dr. Dean Adele, Duke University, and Johns Hopkins Memory Clinic. For more information that may change your life, please log on to ElderRage.com.
Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WSRadio.ws. The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving. And now we're going to speak with Sean Bloom. He's the CEO of the National PACE Association. That's NPA. You know, Sean has worked in the Government Affairs Division of the American Association of Homes and Services for the Aging in Washington, D.C. He also serves as the principal investigator for two grant-supported projects. The first one is the PACE Expansion Initiative, that's PEI, a three-year project funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the John A. Hartford Foundation. And secondly, the Accelerated State Access to PACE, which is ASAP, and it's funded by the John A. Hartford Foundation. Both projects are focused on expanding the availability of PACE services to the frail elderly. Welcome, Sean.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Oh, hi. Nice to see you. Hear you. Now, tell everybody, explain what the PACE program is all about and how it works.
Yes. PACE is a program that was established actually as a demonstration program in San Francisco in the late 70s or early 80s. And it was really intended to find a way to provide a cost-effective, kind of clinically effective alternative to nursing home care for the Chinese-American community in Chinatown. But what it evolved as a demonstration program has actually proved to be a very, very effective and consumer preferable alternative to nursing home care in the United States. Essentially, PACE is a program that targets as potential enrollees individuals that are nursing home eligible who would care to live in the community vis-a-vis their home as opposed to living in a nursing home. And the way that we do that is we combine payments that would otherwise be paid on kind of a fee-for-service basis and combine those payments in kind of a lump sum. And through that kind of capitated, kind of inclusive payment, we're able to manage a wide array of services that enable the PACE programs to keep people active and independent in their homes as long as absolutely possible in the community. To be eligible for PACE, you have to be nursing home eligible, 55 years of age or older, live in the PACE service area, and able to live in the community with the help of the PACE program.
So is it for people that are on the Medicaid program primarily?
In the past, under the demonstration program, it was actually exclusively for people that were Medicaid eligible. But as of the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, where Congress essentially said PACE is a really good thing, and this is something we want to make available to all Americans, they've said it's pretty much open to anybody. So it's no longer restricted to individuals that are low-income Medicaid certified, but rather it's available to any older person that meets the qualifications of PACE.
And how many of them do you have in the country now?
Right now there are 36 PACE programs operating in the country, and there's about 15 to 20 additional programs that are in the queue, meaning that they're in the process of starting PACE programs throughout the country. So it's really kind of a growing, evolving model of care for the elderly.
And, you know, I had Jenny Chin Hansen on from OnLock, who was from San Francisco, and that was, I guess, the starting point for the PACE, wasn't it?
Yes, that is the mothership, so to speak. That is the oldest, and that is the model upon which the PACE program is based. It's a very, very successful program in San Francisco that serves approximately 1,000 elderly people currently, not to mention the number of people they've served in the past.
So tell everybody, why all-inclusive? What is that all about? What's that philosophy that PACE has?
Yeah, I think for those listeners that are listening right now that have been involved in taking care of an elderly relative or loved one, you probably know how difficult it is to kind of navigate the fee-for-service system, Medicare billing, managing a disparate array of healthcare providers in the community. It's very, very difficult. They're all funded under different funding streams. They're all operating under different rules. What makes PACE really unique compared to those other providers is that we're really one-stop shopping. When you enroll in PACE, you get it all. Through enrollment, you're essentially receiving all Medicare, all Medicaid benefits, all long-term care, all physician, all hospital, essentially everything. So when you enroll in PACE, essentially you're saying to the provider of PACE, I want you to provide everything for me. And by doing that, the PACE program is very, very effective at being able to reduce the likelihood of your placement in a hospital or a nursing home. And we do that because I think PACE in particular is a program where the incentives between the provider of care, meaning the PACE program, and the individual are very, very closely aligned. To the extent that we're able to keep individuals out of nursing homes and hospitals, we succeed. And we also allow the person that we serve to succeed by fulfilling their wishes to remain in the community vis-a-vis their home.
So it's kind of like a one-stop shop.
Yeah, it's a one-stop shop. And by getting out of the kind of fee-for-service, kind of jumping into kind of what we call the silos of healthcare for the elderly, whether they be the doctors who don't really communicate with the nursing homes, who don't necessarily communicate with the hospitals, they're all paid through separate systems and adhere to separate rules and have very separate incentives. We bring all that under one umbrella, and we're able to be very, very creative in providing services in a manner that would never otherwise be funded in the fee-for-service healthcare system for the elderly.
So like with my parents, if I had known about this, why didn't I know about this? Because I was taking them first. It was the podiatrist. Then it was the eye doctor for the cataract surgeries. Then it was the ear doctor. Then it was the, you know, heart doctor. Then it was the dementia specialist. Then it was the trying to get to the daycare and then trying to get the Medicaid papers filled out. It was just nutty.
It's very, very difficult. And, you know, I myself, having been a caregiver and involved in the care of my grandfather and helping family members and friends and others, it's very, very difficult. Very difficult.
So bringing them there, and how you can call and get an application and can fill that out online. Is that something you fill out online? Or
actually, the best way to do it is, I'd probably give you our website right now. The best way for a consumer to access the availability of PACE in their area is to go to NPA Online. That's like Nancy Paul Apple Online.org. And you can find the closest PACE program to you. Admittedly, we only have 36 programs in the country right now, but we're seeing an incredible interest and growth of the model throughout the country. But by going to the website, they can identify if they're eligible and where the closest PACE program may be.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we need them everywhere, it sounds like. So now, how can the programs provide such, you know, how do they provide such individual attention to each person? I mean, how are you able to do that?
That's a good question. You know, probably I would say that the magic in PACE happens through two ways. One is the fact that we are paid one kind of lump, large sum payment to provide the full array of services. And by doing that, we can get very creative. We are not restricted by or bound by the kind of rules of fee-for-services. Say, we only reimburse certain services in government. What we can do is, if an individual needs stairs built in their home or a ramp to be able to access their home more easily with a wheelchair, whatever the case may be, we can do that. That's something that typically Medicare and Medicaid will not pay for.
Right.
And by virtue of that, what we call capitated payment, we can get very, very creative because we're freed from the kind of restrictive nature of fee-for-service payment. Secondly, the second part of the ability of us to do that is through what we call interdisciplinary healthcare teams. In PACE, we have a staff of nurses, doctors, social workers, physicians, physical therapists, occupational therapists, dietitians, the whole battery of healthcare professionals that an older person would otherwise see in very different organizations across the healthcare spectrum. By virtue of the payment and the team that we use to provide those services, we're really able to tailor the package of services to meet that individual's needs in the community with the focus on trying to get them to remain in their community as long as possible.
Wow. This is just great. Now, do you have to live in the county? Is it like if you only live in that county, you can get it where there's a PACE program, or can you live outside the county?
You can live, typically most PACE programs will serve a radius of about, an hour out, in a vehicle outside the what we call the day center. PACE typically uses a daycare center as the kind of focal point of service delivery. On an average day for the PACE participant, which is typically 3 days a week, they will come to the daycare center, where they will see physicians, our doctors, nurses, social workers, physical therapists, and the likes. By virtue of that, we typically will only bring a person to the day center from about less than an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really want to keep them on the van longer than an hour.
Oh, so you provide transportation?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. And the way that it typically works is that many PACE programs, when they first start, will start with one day center. As they grow, as is the case with OnLock, they've got maybe 5 to 8 day centers throughout the San Francisco area. So it enables them to serve a much larger geographic area within the San Francisco area. So that's typically how we can individualize services to the people.
Wow, that's just, I'm so glad you guys are doing this. And now, how are you trying to expand this program? How can we help you get this expanded so that this is available to everybody?
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, I appreciate it at the beginning of the show, you mentioned that we're managing 2 grants. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, which is a very reputable organization and many people may recognize, has been very, very supportive of PACE over the years. And they've given us significant support for about a 3-year grant to expand the program throughout the country. As I mentioned earlier, in the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, Congress said, we really want this to take place. We really want to see this more widely available. And I think Mr. Tom Scully, who's the head of the Healthcare Financing Administration, which oversees Medicare and Medicaid, is probably the biggest proponent.
I'm having him on the show in a few weeks.
Yeah, ask him about PACE. He's one of the strongest national supporters of PACE, and we're very appreciative of that. But given what we've done this last year and doing focus groups with consumers around the country, we're finding that this is really the PACE program itself is really consistent with emerging consumer preference, increasingly so. So what we're doing is we're working very, very carefully to try to expand the availability of the program throughout the country through these grants.
That's wonderful. So what would you like our listeners to do if there's somebody listening going, how can I help? Write to who? How can they help get involved?
I think the best way that listeners can help to expand the availability of PACE is to probably begin to ask for it through their government officials. PACE takes a strong commitment by the state. It is an optional service that a state can either choose or not choose to offer, much like nursing homes and other services that states have moved ahead and offered. PACE is a program that we would encourage many states to do. And you mentioned the ASAP program. The ASAP grant program that we have at the MPA is where we've given direct dollars to state governments to help them build the infrastructure within state government to expand PACE. So I would say basically begin asking for it.
So just clarify how the funding works then from federal to state. How's it coming down?
Yeah. for individuals that are, let's say, middle income and have the means by which to pay nursing home care themselves out of pocket, they would enroll in PACE and pay basically less than they would pay for nursing home care. And then what we would do is we'd bring down a Medicare payment, and through those two payments, the individual's payment as well as the Medicare payment, we would have that all-inclusive payment that we could manage that one-stop shopping array of services. For individuals that may be less able to pay, we can pull in a Medicaid payment, which would otherwise be paid to the nursing home, but is paid to PACE, and we can again pull the Medicare payment in to serve them.
So it's almost like pooling the money, almost like insurance. Some people may need more, some people may need less.
Yeah.
Is that kind of how it's working?
Typically, yeah. We typically get the same payment for all individuals under Medicare,
mm-hmm.
and the same payment for all individuals for their Medicaid or long-term care portion.
Mm-hmm. And what about long-term care insurance? Does it help pay with this?
Yeah, certainly. Long-term care insurance is an industry that is taking a very, very close look at PACE right now. In Rochester, New York in particular, about 10% of their payments right now come through long-term care insurance.
I'm quite an advocate for it. How about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. I've had long-term care insurance since I've been about 25 years old.
Good for you.
Yeah, I would encourage any of the listeners out there to really take a look, very close look at long-term care insurance. If you're up into your 80s or late 70s, I would you know, look at it closely. But for those that are younger than that, I would look at it very seriously.
Because you just never know. I mean, you know, you could be on the freeway tomorrow, God forbid, and now you're needing full-time care, you have an accident of some kind, and people say, well, I have good hospital insurance, and I have good medical insurance, and I've got disability insurance. I say, but what if it's long-term? Who's going to take care of you?
Yeah, you know, the way I like to tell people about long-term care insurance is you should not think of it as health insurance. You should think of it as asset protection. For those individuals that are out there that think that you're doing okay, and that you think you're going to, you know, have the money to potentially spend on nursing home care, understand that long-term care insurance may be a better way to go to protect the assets you have available to you. That's
right,
the way
you
think about
and,
it.
And, you know, you may, most people want to stay at home as long as possible before they have to go into a nursing home. So who's
exactly.
going to take care of you at home
exactly
and
right.
cover an adult daycare center for you? And there's so much to know about buying long-term care insurance, and I'm sure, do you have information about that on your website? I have some links to it on elderrage.com under my valuable links to some long-term care insurance sites, but
No, we don't have any links ourselves, but I would definitely encourage individuals to contact the Health Insurance Association of America.
HICAP, right?
Yeah, and they are the trade group that represents most of the long-term care insurance companies in this country.
Well, great. We've got about half a minute left. What would you like to say? Anything else for people to know?
Yeah, I would just like people to understand that there are emerging options in the community for the elderly. For those of you that are taking care of loved ones that are considering nursing home placement, please, please consider PACE. While it may not be available in your community, I would certainly encourage you to begin asking for it. I think, simply stated, PACE really honors what consumers want, and that is to remain home. I think the biggest fear of the elderly in this country is to enter a nursing home. Nursing homes do generally a good job, but there are better ways to do it. It's good for families, a one-stop shopping, it's cost-effective, and we produce very, very good clinical outcomes.
Perfect timing. Such an honor to have you on, Sean.
Thank you.
I appreciate
your book very much. I had a chance to read it again recently, and I recommended it to a few people in the last month.
Well, thank you very much. We'll do this again. We'll have a longer interview and get the word spread out even further.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline.
Bye now, Sean.
Bye-bye.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and I hope you're enjoying our program. Now, stay tuned, because we're going to be speaking with Miss Janet Walsh from the Alzheimer's Foundation in Long Island, New York, and she is a fascinating lady.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
Today I counted cracks in the driveway.
I ate dirt.
I cleaned my ears.
I spun around in circles until I fell down.
I took two naps.
I had a staring contest with my dog. He blinked first.
Need more excitement in your life?
Today, I can't remember.
Then check out Legoland, where you can have a lot more than just fun. It's where kids get their hands on more things and wrap their minds around more things than in any other park. There are kid-powered rides and shows and coasters and more. So you can let today be like any other day.
I sat in a meeting with my mom.
Or you can make today special at Legoland. After all, Isn't it time your kid walked out of a theme park with more than just a t-shirt?